Father, we come, Lord, humbling ourselves, Lord, and might, and in particular, I come into your presence by the blood of Jesus Christ, Lord, to your throne of grace. I come to ask for mercy, to obtain grace, to find help in time of need. Father, I strip myself of every confidence that I yet have in my knowledge or ability, Lord, to teach your word. But I put all of my confidence in your mercy, in the grace of the Lord Jesus, my high priest and Lord and master, and in help of the Holy Spirit, to use the preparation, to use all you have given me, Lord, to edify the body and to bring glory and praise to your name in the name of Jesus Christ. Help me, Lord, to speak this morning as an oracle of God. As your word goes forth, let it go forth in power, in accuracy, in clarity, in simplicity, and in the comfort and love of the Holy Spirit, to do our internal and eternal work in our hearts and lives, and those that will be listening in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we also pray, as word goes forth, let it go forth in power, in accuracy, cause our wills to become more humble, our minds to be further enlightened by revelation knowledge that comes through your word today, and our emotions to be further controlled and tempered by the power of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, I also pray for help to redeem the time, not to say things that are unnecessary. Lord God, as I share, Lord, let me speak with boldness to declare the old counsel of God. I also duck under the covenant of ourselves, spiritual parents, pastor, and mommy, that Lord, that same grace upon their lives will flow, Lord, in and through me today in the name of Jesus. That you hide me, Lord, even behind the rock. And that rock, Lord, that anointings upon them will lead us to be throughout this service today, bringing glory and praise unto your name in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. I thank God so much for this morning. Surely beholding our order in the realm of the spirit. Praise the Lord. We are in this book of 1 Timothy, and we finished up chapter 2 last time we talked about, we taught on this book, and we are talking about Paul. The summary of what we said, we spoke from verses 9 to the end, is that Paul was talking to women, and also it applies to men, about modesty in dressing. And he talked about women not teaching. If you read on the surface, the letter killer, the Bible says letter killer, but the Spirit giveth life. We think that he's saying that women cannot teach, which is wrong. And we gave the example of Aquila and Priscilla, that incidentally they were under Paul's ministry. And Anna in the Bible, there are quite a lot of people. I mentioned five women in the Bible, you know, Huldah, who was a prophetess. And then we gave the example of our mother in this house, you know, who has brought the word of the Lord, accurate word to us many times. So we cannot say that God is saying that women should not teach. But the issue that Paul was talking about, the book of 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 9 to the end, was that women should not usurp authority over the man. And you know, we talked about Adam and Eve, that if Adam had gone immediately to, Eve had gone immediately to Adam, when Satan was speaking to him, or to her rather, Adam would have submitted to God, because that was the first time they would experience that temptation. Are you following me? That they would have escaped all the unnecessary wahala that we find ourselves in today. Praise the Lord. So that is summary of that book. Today we'll begin another chapter, and let's turn our Bible's book of 1 Timothy chapter 3. I'm trusting God to help me by the grace of God. Praise the Lord. Father, I thank you. Lord Jesus, thank you. Holy Spirit, thank you. Let's first read the book of 1 Timothy chapter 3. We'll read from verses 1 to 7. It says, this is a true saying. If a man or a woman desire the office of a bishop, he desired a good work. Let's say good work. A bishop then must be what? Blameless. Let's say together, blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach. Verse 3. Not given to wine, no striker, not greedy or filthy looker, but what? Patient, not a brawler, not covetous. Verse 4. One that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. Thank you, Jesus. Now, verse 5. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? I mean, Paul was like, I don't understand. If you can't take care of your house, how can you come and rule the church of God? Can you imagine the sorry state of the church? Verse 6. Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, let's look at moreover, he must have what? A good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. Praise the Lord. In the Amplified Bible, let's back up to verse 1. It says that if a man desire the office of a bishop is just a big word for superintendent or overseer. You see, we have blown that thing out of proportion. This one is general overseer. It's just a shepherd. That's what it means. It's not, don't, when you hear bishop, don't think about titles and all that. No. Pastor has taught us, think about it in terms of anointings. So it just means a superintendent, an overseer, somebody in charge of a set of people. And that overseer, you know, when we think about it in most places, they think about, okay, you must have a congregation of 1,000. No, it could be two people. Bible says that where two or three are gathered together in my name, they are my demonstrator. It could be two people. It could even be one person that you start with. So let's have that back of our minds. So what are we saying? Now let's move on. He says that if a man desires the office of a bishop or a superintendent or an overseer, he desires a good work. Good work. What are we saying? Pastor has talked over the years. He said, if you have that desire in your heart, it's not wrong to have that desire. But it's a very good work. God loves us to have that desire. It means you have a willingness to serve in the house of God. But now he's talking respect to a bishop. Are you following me? What do we mean by good work? This work we are talking about, that means you can have a bad work. But he says it's a good work. When we are talking about good work, we are talking about doing this work by the work of faith and power. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 11. Pastor has taught us, says that they may love, vouchsafe, and guarantee you worthy of this high calling which has called you. Help me, Holy Spirit. It says, by fulfilling you in and through all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power. Put it on the board so you can see. It says, and the work of faith with power. Now, you see, this work we are talking about, this pastoral work, you cannot do it. It's not the physical running up and down and visitation that gets the job done. Oh yes, an unbeliever can even do it better than you with computers and all that. So he says, if you desire that office, you've desired is a good work. You see, when he says work, that means there is something, there is labor. Anyone in the Bible talks about labor and work, he's talking about labor. There is spiritual labor involved in doing the work of a bishop. So he says, it's a good work. Say, welcome if you desire that kind of thing. He said, but it's a good work. Praise the Lord. How do we do that? In just summary, where Pastor put it recently, one week ago, he says, it is using the life of God, released through the mercy and the grace of God, to do the works of faith. Let's say faith, confession, prayer in the spirit, thanksgiving, and also the consequent physical aspect of pastoring. We now begin to teach people, we now begin to go on visitation, or spiritual visitation, and those that. But it starts from the spirit. It's not the physical aspect that gets the job done. Are you following me? So it's very important to have that at the back of our mind. It is a good work. And that work the Bible is talking about is the work of faith with power, which involves you exercising faith. The labor, I don't have time to turn there, but Pastor has taught over the years, you know, when you labor in prayer, you labor to receive life, you labor in the word. You know, these are spiritual labor. And it takes the Spirit of God to do it. And the best example I can give, or how can we do this work? Let us go to the Bible and see exactly how God himself did his work. Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. Put it amplified as we move on. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. What does it say? It says, the earth was without form and empty waste, and was darkness was upon the face of the very great deep. And what? The Spirit of God, said the Spirit of God was moving, hovering, brooding over the face of the waters. But when Bible says waters, it also means people. Now, this was how God started his own work. You know, after the fall of man, and after the first creation was destroyed, the Spirit started moving, brooding. That brooding there speaks about travel over the earth that was without form and void. And let us read verse Genesis chapter 2, verse 2, not to waste time. You know the story. After the brooding, then God started saying this, let there be light, and there was light, and so on, so on, so it was good. Let there be this, let there be that, let there be. But notice the brooding came before the speaking, or else nothing will have happened. God will just get up and start speaking to the earth that was without form and void. He brooded over it. So what are we seeing? What does it say? And on the seventh day, God ended what is work. So you too, if you desire a good work, you must do it the way he did it. Are you following me? Which he made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work, which he had made. You see, you cannot have rest as a bishop if you don't exercise the work of faith with power. And I put it down here, you know, that notice that the brooding over, talking about travel, came before the saying or the speaking. As many speak empty words without brooding to release the life of God through traveling prayer. It happens a lot of churches. Help me, Holy Spirit. So what we have in the church today, we have congregations over the entire world that are without the form of God and are without understanding. They are void of understanding. Why? Because the so-called shepherd does not take time to pray, to brood, so to speak, travail over his congregation. So he just come and declare the word. That's the basis for these so-called motivational messages. They are empty words. I follow him. Bible talks about say clouds without water. Are you following me? So that's Ephesians says, I'm saying, having a Ephesians 4:18 says that having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God. You see, if you have a shepherd that does not pray for his congregation on a regular basis, you find that the understanding of those people will be darkened due to the sin nature. The Bible says that sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap him. I said, break up your fallow ground. There is no farmer in the natural that will just begin to cast seeds. If first of all we go there and prepare the ground. I thank God for the covering of your house. I'm not saying, because you see, each time we come here and we hear the word of God come with so much clarity, you know, you sit down and your eyes are opened. It takes prayer. Pastor and mommy, they spend hours praying to create what an open heavens. They are breaking up the fallow ground. So when you come, your heart is malleable. When the word begins to come forth, this word begins to sow the word. You know, it is the apostles that sow the word. Paul said, I have planted. Apollos has watered. So before they don't just come and plant the word. Or it's funny that by the time they start talking, people will start sleeping and starving. See, the kind of word we heard in this place by the grace of God is a strong meat. It doesn't tickle anybody. So for that word to be received, the hearts of the people must be plowed and made ready to receive. Praise the Lord. So that's very, very important, you see, as you go on. So that's how God did it in the beginning. And that is the pattern we must follow. No travail, you cannot get anything done. Our apostle said, my dear children, of my traveling in birth until Christ be formed in you. If you go and read the context when he spoke about the book of Galatians, he said that, what is wrong with you? Who has bewitched you? They're not trying to go back again to Judaism. They're not saying, I need to begin to travel for them. Until I can't stop again. Until Christ be formed in you. So that is what a good minister of God must do. That is the good work that the Bible is talking about. But however, there are two aspects to this good work of a bishop or an overseer. And I've written it down. You know, I did some study. I went to one of Papa Egan's books and I combined what Pastor has taught us. And they are divided into two. Let's say God's responsibility and then man's responsibility. I just say that if you look at we'll talk about God's responsibility first, but look at man's responsibilities, what we are going to be talking about today. From 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 2 on to 7. He talks about man's responsibility. But if you look at this congregation here today, does that mean that everyone here is a pastor? Because it is not just a bishop that must fulfill these conditions. There are conditions that every Christian, a serious Christian going on to perfection, must fulfill. Do you want to have two wives? I follow him. So it doesn't apply to a bishop alone. He says that you must be husband of one wife. You must not be a brother. Do you want to be a brother? So what applies to the bishop applies also to the congregation, especially and a very serious end time Christian moving on to perfection. At one time or the other, you have to qualify, have those qualifications. How be it, you may not be called into the fivefold ministry. But as Pastor has taught, I need to lay this foundation before we continue. The most important thing is we have one hope of our calling. If we have been called to become conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. So if you keep growing and you focus on growth, at one time or the other, you are going to come to these anointings. And you manifest this as and when necessary. We don't have that at the back. So you don't feel like, God cannot cheat anybody. God is just. It's just that some people will not be separated specifically for this aspect of ministry. But even the people that are separated to this aspect of ministry, or you that have not been called to ministry, you have one calling, and that's to be conformed to the image of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's say together, to be conformed to the image of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'll come to that as we continue. So, but let us look at God's responsibility. What does God's responsibility involve? It involves God's calling upon a man or a woman's life, and God's spiritual equipping of that man or woman to enable him to stand in that office. You can't wake up today and say, I want to become a pastor. like all what is going on in the body of Christ today. Because you have a desire for money. Or you even feel like it. Or maybe you even raise the dead. The Bible says, these signs shall follow them that believe the pastors. These signs shall follow them that believe in my name. Shall I cast out devils? They shall speak with new tongues. They shall lay hands on the sick. They shall be healed. And you know, if they pick up serpents, he lists them in Matthew 16. These are signs that you follow every believer. Or like E.W. Kenyon said in one of his books, said the believing ones. They should be normal. So you can't say because you prayed for somebody to get born again, you laid hands on him and he was baptized in the Spirit, and you prayed for him, he was healed miraculously, that can now start a church. The Bible says that where two or three are gathered in my name, doesn't mean it's a church. It could be husband and wife. That's not a prayer of agreement. Are you following me? So what are we saying? For you to fulfill the desire to be a bishop, apart from qualifying from 1 Timothy chapter 3 to 1 to 7, you must also have the call of God upon your life. You must have the call of God upon your life. You see, it is because of this lack of understanding and the desire for, nobody wants to be a teacher, everybody wants to be an apostle, that you have the chaos that you have in the body of Christ today. A babel of voices, confusion. People that cannot take care of their own house are starting up churches, and then branches everywhere. We'll see as we go on. So I said, if God's responsibility involves God's calling upon you, very important. You need to know. You can't be, not to know and to go into ministry is presumptuousness, and it is very, very dangerous. Extremely, because you can't play with the souls of men. Those that are supposed to be conformed to the image of Lord Jesus Christ, because you feel like a little boy who's about 15 or 16. It feels like having a baby and gets a woman pregnant. The fact that God is a woman pregnant doesn't mean that the guy is a father. Terrible mistake. How is he going to take care of that baby? Because he does not have the equipping. He doesn't have the capacity. He doesn't have a job. So if it feels like it, you better take a cold shower. Fact. So if you feel like going to the ministry and you are not sure, you had better pray till you are sure. And we'll show you the pathway as we continue. Praise the Lord. So what are we saying? Let's put some scriptures behind it. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 11 says, and he gave some. Not all. And he gave some. Not all. And he gave some. Apostles. Some. Prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers, for a purpose. For what? The perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edification of the building, until we all come. You see, it's the job that you don't retire from. But as people are coming in to the perfection of the fullness of Christ, you are teaching them, others are getting born again, then you pick up job again. So as long as Peters are coming in, read, and they are graduating as John, others will also be coming in. So you can't retire until we come to the perfection and the fullness of Christ. Praise the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 verse 28. I've just mentioned it. And God has said some. Say some. Not all. God has said some. Not all. The next verse says that are all apostles. So why does everybody in the body of Christ want to become an apostle? Why don't you make it your goal to become conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ? The Bible says we have one hope of our calling. If we pursue that hope through spiritual growth and development, you find that all these anointings that people covet and desire and long for, they will operate in your lives. So you don't have to necessarily be standing behind the pulpit. You can be anywhere in the bank. We need that anointing, it will manifest. Are you following me? It's very important that we have this proper mindset. Praise the Lord. So he called some, not all. And I have two examples I wrote down. Example of Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 5. When God called Jeremiah, he told him, he said, I have foreknown you from your mother's womb. He said, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I did what? Sanctify thee. And I did what? Ordain thee what? A prophet unto the nations. There were many people in Israel in those days. But said, as far as you are concerned, I've set you apart. You see, everybody in context what I'm taking and talking about has been set apart in this end time to be conformed to the image of Lord Jesus Christ. Colossians, I always quote it. 1:26 says, warning every man, teaching every man that I may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. So nobody has an excuse not to pursue being conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. Are you following me? It's very, very important. So Paul is also another example from the New Testament now. Galatians chapter 1 verse 15. You see, all the time that Paul was misbehaving around, that calling, we don't use the word calling into ministry now, had been upon his life. You see, but if you don't enter into the body of Christ, you cannot fulfill that ministry that God has called you to. The same thing, if you don't get born again, you cannot be conformed to the image of Lord Jesus. So everybody has the same starting point, and we have the same end point, which is to inherit the Spirit without measure. He said, but when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb, and what? Called me by His grace. So it is very important. Or else, like I said later on, you'll be presumptuous. And Lord, it is extremely dangerous. Before I move on, you see, you can say, okay, God has called me. You can even call, I won't speak to you, that I've called into the ministry. You don't start from the top. You don't. Nobody starts from the top. And I wrote examples down here. You know, apart from that, he says there are what I call the years of training. Following through, I deliberately put these words there. Following through spiritual fathers, being trained to reign. You don't, if you get born again today and God speaks to you, like He did for Joseph, you have to go through some training or stripping. God has to strip you. Some of us are still undergoing that stripping now. Or else, if you are not stripped, you are going to end up doing what Solomon did, because he had a throne. Trust upon him. But David went through a wilderness experience before he could get the three anointings. So we have examples here, you know, of Moses and Joshua. Another example here is Elijah. I won't turn there, you know, but Pastor Abraham preached about this some time ago. It's all a thing. So you see, you've been called to work in the ministry. And even if you are not called to work in the ministry, you've been called to be conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. So you must have an Elijah over you. You must have a Moses over you. I follow me. You must have the Lord Jesus Christ had the 12 apostles. Paul had Timothy. Timothy had Paul over him. So you must be under a true spiritual father. And you must be following tenaciously. You mark him, everything. There are some things that, you know, you will never know until you draw close. Draw close here does not mean that you are working for them. Oh, then what about those that are in diaspora? But you mark them closely. You go to the website. You listen to their tapes. And opportunities come, you sow to their lives. So you can't, you know, I don't want to use this word that people have bastardized. Say, tap into pain to sow into their anointing. It is silly. Even though there's an element of truth there. Bible says that, say, they that labor in the world, say, can't them body of double honor. We have a ministry like this that they share corn. My God, they share corn. I've been here for 20 some years. They share corn. None of us can go out. There are people who have left the church that they didn't have the capacity to teach in the children's church. They leave this church and they make them overseers. I'm saying, sure. It's like somebody that drops out of university or a primary school. And then you have spiritual dropouts in SPCC. And then you have grab a spiritual dropout. Now put to come and head your business for you. And then you are rejoicing. So you can imagine those that have decided to stay. Let's move on. Will not be spiritual dropouts in Jesus' name. So you can imagine the problem in the world and churches. People that can't even pray. I'm not Christian. People that happy would they come to church. They were led away by the loss of their flesh, and they go to a church. Then they put them anyway. Back to what I'm saying. Hebrews chapter 5, we read from verses 4 to 5. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for Pastor. Thank you for Mommy. I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful to them. I'm so grateful. I feel like thanking God every time when I sit down. I don't want to. I don't, because I have a limited time. I know, man. Take at what? This honor unto himself. But he that is called of God, as was Aaron. Next verse. So also, Christ, that we're following, glorified not himself to be made an high priest. But he that said unto him, thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. In spite of all that the master did, he did glorify himself. in humility, just assuming he had gone to the Jordan River that day and nothing happened, I have gone back again quietly to the carpenter's shop. God said, wait another year, he will have waited. You know, I said, after all these years, I know that I'm more righteous than you, John the Baptist. He did not, though. He waited for the master, the father, to call him. So there's no reason to be in a hurry. Lose the age to preach. The Bible says in James, he said, be ye not many masters. Amplified says, don't be many teachers, because you have the greater condemnation. He said, in many things we offend people. This is not we should be afraid of being called into ministry, but reverence it. Not the way they have bastardized this today. Everybody is a pastor, everybody is an apostle. Drop out all over the place. The second example is Nadab and Abihu. Leviticus 10 verses 1 and 2. Know the story. God told Moses, tell Aaron that you can see submission there. Do this and do this and do this, and the glory of God will appear unto you. And they did it, they appeared. But did not call Nadab and Abihu. How be it if they had waited? By the time Aaron died, Nadab was the eldest. He would have stepped into the office of the high priest. But he could not wait. So they too, they took their censers and they put incense inside and they went to the most holy place. And when they did whatever they did at that time, what judgment fell? Wham! And they died before the Lord. And God told Aaron, said, you had better not cry. You are saying that, how come we don't see that happening in this day? I will tell you, as I was coming, I was meditating upon it. This is what I believe can God made a very simple illustration. If you have a car and you do have an extra tire, and the tire, one of the tires, maybe the one on the right side, is torn, and they are driving, you know those cars, and the car is going like that, everybody's shaking. Everybody's shaking. Not because you hold this band. You're not going to overspeed, though. You are going to begin to manage it gently till you get to town and you get where you can buy another tire. And when you buy that tire, you don't have an extra one, buy the second one, you now put it there, and you now remove it. There are people that are carrying the ark today. So now, God is not sleeping, no. But if you wake up in the morning, you don't have an extra tire, the other tire is bad, and then you are rushing somewhere, and you won't speed. Especially if it's at night. You're going to slow down. You say, why people are pressing? Why are you driving like this? What's wrong with you? So I'm hurry. Jeje. That's what God is doing, no? You can't be angry and say, remove the tire. Can you drive on three wheels? So God cannot do the work with four wheels without an extra tire, making five ministry. It is the five to be ready. But I have an announcement to tell you. When God begins to hasten the time, he has changed the tires. So we can speed down and hasten to the fulfillment of the vision. Mark my word. The same way you desire to have a spirit of that measure, which will bring instant miracles, it will bring instant judgments, as from Ananias and Sapphira. It will also bring, don't be afraid, instant mercy, if you are honest. Instant grace. So everything will be instant. But you can't leave one, and then it's double-edged sword. So God is just managing it. Be driving gently. Because if anything happens to the tire now, we are stuck here. And then before we go, we have to go. No. God said, redeem the time. So he's moving the thing gently. So don't say, it happened in Ananias and Sapphira. It happened this time. It happened. Why come it's not happening? All the things we see. No. God is a shrewd investor. Like Pastor Wallace was telling me, he has invested his time. He had to wait. Even when Moses told Moses that we're not going to promised land. Moses not there that day. God Joshua was not ready. When Elijah joined Elijah, after God told Elijah and said, Elijah, finito, go and anoint so and so, the three something. And anyway, Elijah is what we're talking about. Why did he say, taking a while? No. That pastor was sharing with you. It took 20 years of getting a replacement ready, the spare tire, making sure it had the right pressure, gauged properly. Then when the time came, he removed that tire. Follow what I'm saying in the spirit. So it is. Anything, if you do go into ministry without the call of God in your life, it is a presumptuous move. And it can be dangerous. So it's because nothing has happened to them yet, something will happen. God is going to change guards. Not just that they will die, but they will dry up like it is for John the Baptist. But I say, well, he was baptizing here, then the water, then he go and he joined, then he moved down again, the water kept drying, then he moved down again, well, he said, drying up, could they fura? Go and read the Bible. John. He said he was baptizing here in something. Then he said, because there was much water there. If you look down this later on, the water kept drying up. And the guy still did not understand. On the took off his head. So what are we saying? That is the reason why we have the spirit of what I call Jeroboam in the church today. Pastor has taught us over and over. 1 Kings chapter 13, verse 33. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Help me, Lord. Hi, Jesus, shall me. 1 Kings 13, 33. Jeroboam, we know the story. And God gave him 10 cities. And instead of him to be content, I mentioned at that time, he went and set up this image. I follow him, and people said, people are going there. But this is what I want to get to. I don't want to get to that because of time. In what does this say? And this thing, after this thing, Jeroboam did what? Return not from his evil way, but God did what? Made again of the lowest of the people priests, spiritual dropouts. Of the what? High places. That means there were many high places. Is it a high place to have all these branches everywhere? If you start a branch that God did not start to tell you to start, automatically they will have to have a pastor. So whether there is a pastor or not, you have to look for somebody to put there. See, the problem with branches today is a soul system like Pastor has taught. That's the problem. You put somebody that is not standing on his feet to go and shepherd people, somebody that doesn't even fulfill the criteria that we're going to read in 1 Timothy 3. Who just are sprouting branches, believing that it is the more the branch, the more the work of God you are doing. The work of God is not starting churches. It is the perfection of the saints. The work of the ministry, the edification of the body, until, without exception, those that will go on to know the Lord come to the measure of the stature of Jesus Christ. You can have 1 million churches over the world. If you are not fulfilling that purpose, you've not even started yet. You're in the kindergarten. You better find a way to shut them down, or else it's going to shut you down. Yeah. So what are we saying? Jeroboam, look at what he did. If you had, he would just come out. He said, those of you, he said, anybody that desired, put it, are we there? Please put it back there. That's what he said. He didn't use desire, but he said, anybody, please put it back there for time. Say, anybody that desired to be a priest or a bishop or a pastor. Say, he said, whosoever would. Say, whosoever would. He consecrated him. And he became one of the priests of the high places. There are high places over our nation. So people just go, my father in the Lord, either he has money, or if he has a desire. So my father-in-law will anoint him, like we said, with the type, you know, the anointing oil, something for real anointing. Then they post him to somebody. And if you behave properly, they'll take you to where there's money. Then if you don't bring funds properly, you don't know how to lie, and how did what God deceitfully, what will happen? They post you to somewhere where there's no money. So you know it's not your fault again. I don't mention any church. That's what is happening in the body of Christ. So that is the Jeroboam spirit, a spirit of Jeroboam. We need to speak about it and speak it into the air. Bible says, come out from among them, my people. Say, Babylon, say, do not partake of their sins. Come out. Don't stay under such a ministry. Come out. You can never fulfill your destiny under them. You can have everything. You can live, be rich, have children, have everything. What is the point of going through the wilderness experience and not entering the promised land? Heaven is not about gold. Our gold is the perfection and the fullness of Christ. Praise the Lord. Keep following me. So like I said earlier, I said, but you see, we don't leave ministry. God has called us to conform to the image. So if you truly desire that anointing, that pastor says, what you need is to go on to perfection. Why? Because all those anointings are in Christ Jesus. Colossians 2:9 says, for in him dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily. So if you come like him, all that anointing, the anointings of apostles, whatever, they are going to be resident inside you. And I see the thing made manifest in our mystery. I'm not saying it just to. I've seen pastor move from one anointing to the other. Just move like this. And yet, the glory has not manifested. I've seen mommy many times. She will do something ordinary. She will just move. She will do prophetic. And she will come out again. Then she will do this, do the other. She will, to the extent that they can arrange table with you in this place. After they do that with you, you have closed for the day. I say, ah, thank God. We won't have this as a prayer meeting tomorrow. Thank you, sir. Before you know it, you just hey, text message. Everybody reports. So we are going on a 3-day fast. Man, show. That's it, though. Pastor, endure hardness as a good soldier of Christ. It's a good work, oh. When you now begin to do it, you understand what it takes to create this kind of atmosphere. So what are we saying? Ephesians 3:19. So they don't say don't Jesus Christ. What does it say? It said that the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height of the love of Christ that passes on this thing, that you too might be filled what with the fullness of God. So not only Christ that has that fullness, God wants you to have that fullness. But the way to having that fullness is to go on to perfection. Praise the Lord. Pastor has taught us so much. So now we can the scripture now comes to pass. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You can stand in the office of an apostle today and you're working in a bank. You can stand in the office of a pastor today, you might be a clear. You just be moving. So people will not say, what ministry have you been called? No. Say, I'm a son of God. Say, I'm a son of God. I'm a son of God. That's your calling, to become conformed to his image. So let's now move to man's responsibility. It involves the minister's qualifications or requirements to stand in that office. God has a responsibility, he will call you. They will give you that anointing to function in that office, which doesn't give every regular sin as it's growing. Because it's for the work of a ministry. So, man of God, don't be deceived. It's not because you are so special. No, 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 no. 1,000 times, no. If somebody becomes president tomorrow, everything that belongs to the president, which he does not have, for they will give him entourage, car, everything will change immediately. Why? Because he has stepped into an office that wasn't before. If he steps out of that office, most of those things will be removed. So it's not your own. It is not your own. That's a mistake that Solomon made. He said that everything I saw, Ecclesiastes chapter 1, that I saw, I did this, and yet my wisdom remained with me. You know, the gifts and the calling of God, one calling, without repentance. Go and ask from Samson. He wished not. He wished not. There's no time to go there. So this one now involves the man's responsibility to qualify himself to be able to fulfill that ministry. You see, because if he does not qualify himself, he may not even enter it, or he may not fulfill it in his fullness. Paul said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. The ministry that God has given me, he said, I have finished. That means if he did, he may not start. You can start and not finish. And you can start and finish, right or wrong. God is that everybody has been called into the ministry. You start with everybody that's in this end time. I keep saying it, so we don't get ministry minded. They have been called to be conformed to the image of the Lord Christ. God wants you to start and finish. And you know, when you start and finish, when you hear the glory and you go first light, then you know. I finished well. Praise the Lord. So what are we saying? Help the Holy Spirit. So I was thinking, as I was thinking about it, this thought just came to mind. We've so much watered down the ministry God, ministry offices worldwide. Which one of you will go for an interview in a bank as a bank manager? And you go with your primary school leaving certificate or secondary school leaving certificate, or that I dropped out of UI. You will not. You will not. Even if they tell you that, okay, they know, go and talk to them. Say, let me either go back to school or go and find a job that is commensurate to my qualification. There are qualifications. In those days, if you are going to university, you say you must pass maths and English. If you want to go for studying English in UI or wherever, you don't pass, you had an F9 in those days in English, you won't even, or you don't make your jam. There's a qualification. So spiritually, there's also a qualification. Don't mind what you see today. People that cannot even read the Bible, they don't even know Genesis from Revelation. As if they are pastors. I know what God is going to do. Malachi chapter 1, verse 6. God began to tell Malachi before the Lord Jesus Christ returned. He said to prepare the way. He's talking about priests. He said something. He said, which one of you want to go and give your governor a gift? And I take one-eyed goat that is like this. The baby is going like this. Then you now go to the governor's house. You now give him. And we want to thank you for all you have done for us. He said, will you accept your person? He said, go and give it to your governor. What is that saying? God is saying the standards of which we do secular things must not be less than what we do in the house of God. There is no room for mediocrity. But study to show yourself approved unto God, not unto men. A workman that needed to be ashamed, not to be ashamed, rather divide the word of truth. So let's read it. It says, verse 6, Malachi 1, 6. What does it say? I've just rushed through. I think my time is up. Help me. As a son
honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is my honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear? Said the Lord of hosts unto you, O priests that despise my name. And you say, wherein have we despised your name? Verse 7. Ye offer polluted bread upon my altar. And you say, wherein have we polluted thee? In that you say, the table of the Lord is contemptible. It doesn't matter. As long as you are born again, you can be a pastor. Verse 8. Thank you, Jesus. It says, and if you offer the blind for sacrifice, dropouts that cannot see spiritually, they are blind spiritually. Says, it is it not evil? And if you offer the lame and the sick, people that cannot walk spiritually, stand on their 2 feet, is it not evil? Offer it now unto your governor. Take that your certificates as a dropout. Go and get a job in the World Bank. But they won't even give you a visa. You are laughing. But people like Jeroboam, the spirit of Jeroboam, anybody else comes to consecrate himself, once he has whatever they might say, okay, you want to change, as if you are going to do freedom one day, and I bring this, and okay, they will come, anoint you for the food, and they're going to start a church somewhere. But they offer it to your governor, will you be pleased with thee? Accept thy person, said the Lord of hosts. Verse 12. But ye have profaned it, in that you say, the temple of the Lord is polluted. I was saying, the church, anybody can be pastor once God has called you. As if there is no prayer for training of the Lord, you are, and the fruits thereof, even his meat, is contemptible. Verse 14. But cursed be the deceiver. Let's say together. Cursed be the deceiver, which has in his flock a male, and vows and sacrifices unto the Lord a corrupt thing. For I'm a great king, said the Lord of hosts, and my name is dreadful among the heathen. The other side of this is this. If you spend time to succeed in your secular job, you must spend time in the word of God. You can't say it is God and wake up in the morning and jump out and you don't pray. Let me qualify it as a habit. Then you have an exam tomorrow. Then you wake up, your mom or your dad is saying, rest, you have to rest too. Say, no, I cannot rest because I need to succeed. I need to make a first class. Wake up as early as 11. You drink coffee. You drink, put your legs inside a bucket of water. Why? So you can get an earthly certificate. I say, if it is God, it doesn't matter. If I get to church at 9:05, say, I have only missed worship. But it doesn't matter. I'm about grace. Offer it to your governor. Which one of you can go to work and be late? You have been thinking about different lies and excuses. You have been calling. Please, I'm sorry. Well, I was held up in traffic. But you stroll into the house of God. And then you sit down. Because you go and offer it to your boss at work. That regard your person. So what are we saying? I have to stop. Pick it up next time. In closing, the Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 3 verse 10, he was talking about deacons. He said, prove them. Hey, don't want to take them to the fire. Take them to the grill. If he says, prove a deacon. He said, if he says, prove a deacon. How much more? Somebody I want to stand before God's people. What is God telling us this morning? God is saying to us, like John the Baptist said, the voice of him crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Let every mountain and hill be brought low, every valley be filled. Crooked places made straight, rough places made smooth. Because when it comes, I have instant miracles. Let me say it quietly so we don't get afraid. Instant mercy, instant grace, instant judgment. But God is loving. That's why he has given us crunch, so we can be ready, so we can buck up
I don't know who will travel in tomorrow. I know a flight is 5 o'clock in Lagos. I leave the house at 5 minutes to 5. Some of us will stay at home, including me at times. God, I've repented. I'm sorry. You just calculate it. You don't. We are going from here to Lagos. We have calculated. We have to move on time. Because I don't miss the flight. There's a glory that God has destined to occur in this time. You better make sure you're in the upper room, the place called prayer. Let's bow down to pray. Let's talk to the Lord. Because of our next lesson, we start talking about the qualifications one by one. So apart from the fact that I've been called into ministry, so to speak, that I will say, you must measure up to the qualifications, which has to do with your character and conduct. Or else you may not even start. Or start, you may not finish. But the good news that God wants us to finish, if you have been called into ministry. And if you have not been called into ministry, you've been called to be conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God wants you to start and wants you to finish. And the same qualifications that applies to those that have been called into ministry applies to every saint, a serious saint. Because the standard cannot be lowered. Because everyone has been called to be conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. And to inherit the Spirit without measure. Let's talk to the Lord as we pray. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We are grateful. Let's stand to our feet. Let's stand to our feet. Let's worship Him. There is mercy available today. And there is grace. He's not willing that any should perish or to miss out on the pouring of the glory of God. But that all should come to repentance and prepare their hearts. Let us respond to the Lord by putting one hand on our hearts as we've been taught. Also lift up our hands unto the Lord. Recognize also as we pray. The Bible says, it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but whom God will show mercy. The Bible says, it's the mercy that over all his tender works. As by that mercy we have not been consumed. But the mercy is available today to help us to be faithful and to triumph. So when he will come into his temple, suddenly we will all stand. They say, Father, I confess our sins, and so we're clean with the blood of Jesus from all unrighteousness, especially when we have despised the work of the Lord. Lord, we repent of all these sins. We receive forgiveness, a cleansing by the blood of Jesus, and a purging of our conscience from dead works to serve in God. In Jesus' name we have life. Lord, please have mercy on us as we pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your word that has come to me today, reminding me of the qualifications, the high standards that you have set in order for us to serve you as an overseer or to become conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. I also understand that these same standards are required of me as a serious end-time Christian going on to the perfection and the fullness of Christ. Knowing that the more I become more like the Lord Jesus Christ, the more of the fivefold anointings I will manifest in wherever I find myself serving you in this end time. I come to ask for mercy afresh, grace afresh to enable me, firstly, not to lower the standards that are set in your word, but to use the blood, the word, and the spirit to perfect your love in my life, keeping under my body, so that after I preach to others or hold this kind of message, I will not be a castaway. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray the Spirit. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Mm-hmm.